Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Gallen. And coming up on the August ballot is the sinking fund for Hancock Public Schools. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to learn more about it by bringing in Kip Bodwin, the superintendent of Hancock Public Schools, and also Lou Miette. He is the senior project manager for OHM Advisors. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick.
This is one of those things we kind of want to dive in a little bit deeper. Kip, I had seen the presentation that you gave at the Hancock City Council. We ran something on the news about it. But in the news situation, you can only do a little bit. It doesn't allow us to kind of dial down into the nuts and bolts of the proposal and also really why it's needed. And so this, you know, as we're coming up here in a few weeks when this is going to go before voters, this will be a good opportunity for just another tool, I guess, to get that awareness out there of what's going on. So let's start with just that. Can you give me the sort of the bullet points on the proposal itself? What are voters being asked to vote on?
Voters are being asked to vote on a 1.5 mil, which allows the district to generate money in advance of its need. Rather than borrowing from the taxpayers, the sinking fund allows us to pay as we go. So rather than borrowing money from the taxpayers and then paying the bank interest, this allows us to take the money and dispose of it as we collect it, which is ultimately a savings to the taxpayers. The sinking fund is established in the state of Michigan to allow us to take care of bricks and mortar issues, long-term maintenance, school roofs, electrical, mechanical types of things, fixing cement sidewalks, those types of things to keep the building what we call safe, dry and warm for our students. And so that's the essence of it. In our operational budgets, typically the monies are designed to go for instruction, not for bricks and mortar. And so the sinking fund allows us to go after bricks and mortar type of money to protect what's equivalent to about a $14.5 million community investment in the school district buildings. So
being a sinking fund, that's what separates this from, say, the Houghton millage increase that they had a while back.
Yes, a different funding type of funding source. Absolutely.
Okay. And the advantage of doing it this way is what?
Again, you're not paying somebody interest on your money, so the taxpayer isn't, you know, ponying up money, and then part of that money is not even utilized for the project. It goes right to interest. So if you think of it as a savings account, you're really borrowing from yourself to do these projects.
Okay. We're going to come back to, you know, how this would affect the residents and property owners of the Hancock School District, but let's get an idea of what the project would entail by talking with you, Lou. Can you kind of give me an overview of what needs to be done?
Right now it's kind of divided up into a five-year plan for work at both schools, both the high school and middle school complex, and also at Barkell Elementary. And the first year, the work would primarily be at Barkell Elementary to take care of some truss repair issues that are necessary. And following that, they're looking at roofs on the high school in the second year. And then the third year is a mix of interior repair items, I mean carpet, some mechanical items. And I think in the third or fourth year is improved mechanical heating system at Barkell Elementary, and then out at the last year, potentially looking at the roof on the middle school. If, you know, at this time, we're not certain if it'll need replacement, but it would be nearing the end of its expected life and be evaluated as we get closer to the end.
What is the condition of some of these elements that you know, as they are today? The roof, you said you still need to make a decision on that or see what would happen in a few years, but some of these other things.
The heating system at Barkell, they have issues in classrooms. We can improve energy efficiency. We can improve the space environment so it's more comfortable for people. Some things that are needed there. There's plumbing, plumbing fixtures, bathroom fixtures and stuff that need replacement. Carpet, carpet gets heavy use. A lot of it's approaching 20 years old. So in need of replacement just before it deteriorates further.
when we've seen similar proposals come up and they've talked about things like the carpeting or the roof. And for people that get to be my age and, you know, have kids in the school system, and they say, well, remember, the, you know, the carpeting is right now is the same carpet that you walked on when you went there as a kid. So try to, you know, imagine that. Imagine never replacing, you know, if it was your own home, you know, and raising your children there with the traffic that, you know, going 20 years or 30 years and never replacing your own carpet or painting your walls or replacing the roof, the condition that your home would be is not would not be very good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the goal of a sinking fund, again, is really to, it's not to build new infrastructure. It's really to take care of, you know, what we have, as Kip pointed out. I mean, it's really to preserve that investment that the community has in the school.
Kip, besides some of these, you know, almost a little, I hate to call them cosmetic, you know, but because it's carpeting and roofs and stuff like that. But what other type of things are going to be like upgrades from what they currently have if this passed?
Right. Rick, what Lou mentioned is in terms of heating, just efficiency from the building, you know, from when the buildings were first built. Technologies allow us for higher efficiency. So in there's our hidden cost benefits to us. The electrical lighting, upgrading to LED systems as opposed to some of the older electrical lights that we have. I think that those are big pieces in terms of utilization. We're going to also put in a security system for the building, which is a huge piece for us. The unfortunate truth in this day and age is that our buildings now need to have a security level in order to protect our children. And so that's a part of this. So those pieces are really, they're with the electrical and heating, you have a tangible repayment because you can look at your electrical bill or your heating bill at the end of the month and say, over last year, we saved X amount of dollars. There is no price to put on security. The building has been well maintained. I think it's very important to note that you're not going to go in and see blistering paint and all these things. The building has been well maintained. We're just merely looking at how to improve it and continue to maintain that infrastructure with these dollars, making sure that the investment is protected. So those are some of those things. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. And I'm going to ask you another one. What are those security elements that you'd be improving?
One of the things we're looking at is that for passage into the building, primarily that you control at points of access, so you can't have people coming into the building from multiple points of access, so you have eyes on the field when people are entering. So once students are in the building, the exterior doors are locked. This does not prevent egress. I mean, we would never, you know, locking people inside. You're merely preventing people to come in at will. So they come through a common entrance. At that point, they have to be rung in. There's a visual screen there that they have to look into. They're identified through the office and then buzzed in accordingly. So that would be in the middle high school and then at Barkell as well. Part of that would be upgrading the camera system and creating the ability to have live cameras in terms of being able to maintain information on traffic. So if you have someone in the building, you can identify that you have someone and you don't know how they got in there. Hmm. Those types of pieces. With that, then that just improves all the other aspects of your building in terms of management.
Now, we've heard recently from our state legislators, certainly since the Parkland shooting in Florida, about steps that they were trying to take to provide funding for schools to improve their security. Are you just not comfortable waiting to see if that comes, or will that change your plans at all if it does become available?
I think that our goal is always to farm all the fields that we can. We're working for the taxpayer, and so if there's monies that come through granting sources that allow us to use that as opposed to borrowing from the public, we certainly would go that direction. What we did not feel is that we wanted to wait. So there's a little bit of a hybrid there. I think that you come to a threshold where you have to say it's now. And I think we're there in terms of that threshold. I've been working with Matt Jerf with the Michigan State Police this summer, reviewing our emergency plans. I've had local law enforcement in our buildings regularly, those types of things, and try to rely, you know, on the latest information that's available. to us. So absolutely we will be looking at other types of funding sources. But again, you and I both know if you're waiting for the Christmas check, Grandma doesn't always send a check. So we would rather make sure that we can do what we need to do.
Right. And no school system thinks that they're going to be the next school to be hit with some, with, you know, some sort of tragedy. You always think it's not going to happen to you.
Absolutely, and pray that it isn't you. You know, those are our constant fears. Again, I think there's an element of deterrence. I think that that's, unfortunately, I think there's an element of that. Is this easy or not easy? And so those are some of the things that we have to look at.
The information that's been provided for the public here, and I'm looking at a one-sheeter here in front of me, it talks about, you know, making it the school safe, warm, and dry. Those are things that we've been talking about so far here. But there's also the other things that you have been mentioning about improving the energy efficiency. Also, you know, talks about, you know, just some like bathroom upgrades and things like that, refinishing the gym floor in the high school. It's probably, these are things that if you go to the school or if you're familiar with the school, you it's in front of you every day and you're familiar that it needs to be done.
Absolutely. It's again, I think as a homeowner, as you go into your own home, you evaluate what you need to do and what you'd like to do. At some point, not maintaining costs you maintenance in the future. So when we look at things like the floor and the gym, at some point, you could do it as a preventative maintenance and save money, or you can do it as a reactive maintenance, and it's going to cost you more money. Hmm. And that's the fine balance, is, you know, at what can you do and what do you want to do? The things that we put forth, we really feel our needs, and talking to Lou, our building and grounds committees, we interviewed our teachers, we solicited as much feedback as we possibly could get in order to ensure that we were thinking about instruction and the needs and use of the building. So like you said, with the floor, those are things that at some point is going to have to be done. It's an investment, and if it deteriorates too far, you're going to lose your investment.
How old is that facility up on Campus Drive there?
The high school portion, Lou, is approaching 20 years.
It's approaching 20 years old, yes.
The middle school portion of that then is probably about 8 or 10 years old. Barkell Elementary has to be early 90s?
I think it was mid-80s.
Mid-80s. I can't do the quick math in my head there, but it's I certainly remember. And so they've been around.
Have some of these upgrades that we've talking about, have they been done since these buildings were built then? Is the roof that's on the high school and middle school, is it the original?
It is the original.
Yeah, the high school roof is original. Again, the middle school portion is only approximately 10 years old at this point. But again, anticipating 5 years from now, we're going to be at the beginning threshold of where that roof could begin to fail. Some carpets were replaced in the high school when we actually constructed the middle school. So they replaced the worst ones at that time. And, you know, now the intention would be to replace the bulk of those that hadn't been replaced back then. Hmm. So I think it's primarily all original carpeting that we would be proposing to replace.
What about on the athletic side? And I ask this again because, you know, our neighbors over here behind me, you know, are spending a lot of money, you know, renovating all of their athletics. Well, you guys have a great field and arrangement with Finlandia University at McAfee Field. Do you have any needs in that area, and would this address any of it?
The sinking funds primarily are not designed to do those types of things. And that was one of the reasons that we chose, is we really wanted to target what we needed. Again, Rick, you pointed out a very excellent point. We have a tremendous relationship with Finlandia. We have McAfee Field. We have resources there. It would be a little bit counterproductive to pay for things twice. We have those resources, and we want to continue that relationship and work with that. What we're really trying to do, again, is leverage the money the best we can for direct projects. And that was the purpose of the sinking fund. And one of the reasons that we were not looking at those other components is that although we all have wish lists that go beyond, mm-hmm. Really at this point, our commitment was to infrastructural stabilization and improvement.
Not to go off topic, but when I was at McAfee Field a little over a year ago, I guess, and I was talking to a guy that said that, hopefully I'm right, because I've only been here about 7 years in this area, but he was talking about that. Is that the same location that Hancock's been playing football for a long time?
Yeah, Wisconsin Field is my understanding originally. So there's a long tradition on the field. So, Solani Fieldhouse is there. There's a long tradition for the community. That is their home field, yes.
Oh, yeah. The guy was telling me about when he played, it was rocks and dirt.
I'm sure he was wearing a leather helmet.
All right. Well, so the voters are going to have to decide on this. What are you asking them? The 1.5 mils, how is that going to break down if you're a property owner and you're paying taxes in Hancock?
If you're a taxpayer, and the taxable value of your home, your SEV is about $45,000, $95,000 home approximately, a $90,000 home approximately, you're looking at about $5.60 a month would be the taxable increase. In order to do that, it's a finite period of time. It's a 5-year window. At the end of that 5-year window, then obviously that millage goes away. The sinking fund is very guarded in that what you can dispose of that money for is only what is enumerated. So, for example, if you wanted to, let's go to your concept about the sports field, you wanted to do something there, you're not allowed to do that with that money. It's not, you can do it in terms of improvements, but you can't just take that money and move it. I can't use it for wage and benefits, those types of things. And it's one of the reasons that we liked it. It's a very, very rigid structural work inside of that. So that costs to the taxpayer. It's a 5-year window.
I pay more than that per month for my Netflix account.
Right, and for some of our families, it will be a burden, truthfully. But, yes, I think that each family has to look at it and say, in comparison, and that's why we put it that way, is so that you can look at it and find out this is exactly what it does cost for me. Over the range of our community, again, for some of our taxpayers, it will be a hard decision. For others, like you said, it will be the decision of maybe a six-pack of something and not for the for the month.
Okay. On June 17th, everything changed here in the Copper Country. It was, no matter what it is, had been affected by the storms and the floods. Since I have you here, first, was the grounds at any of the Hancock schools affected by that?
We did have some water damage at the high school, middle school, and at Barkow, and that is protected by insurance, so those have been submitted. Beyond that, no. Given what everybody else has incurred, we're almost embarrassed to mention what we had.
Okay. So none of this money would be having to use to repair flood damage?
No, that money, the money that for the damages that we incurred are protected by insurance.
Okay. We have incredibly generous people that live here, and we see it time and time again, and during this time of crisis is, no difference. Any concern that with the amount of money that's needed to go towards flood relief that people might not be as willing to vote for a millage increase in this climate?
I think that as we look at the community has been very, very progressive in terms of its educational support. I think that, like everything in life, folks can differentiate. This is an emergency. This is a longitudinal investment, and I think that they will be able to do that. It certainly isn't what we'd want to do in terms of timing. On the other side of it, I really do. I think that folks, can look at it and say, this is an act of God, and the other piece is a civic opportunity for us to support the district.
Lou, I don't want to. Sorry if I. Sounds like I forgot got you over there. All right, so let's jump ahead to mid-August or September, and that's it. If this passes, what will be the timeline for things to start working?
Well, if it passes, we would begin design on work, shortly thereafter, with the intention that the first work would probably take place, the summer of 2019. And generally with schools, I mean, that's the easiest solution, is to try to concentrate all that work, you know, during the summer recess, so that, you know, you don't have students, you have less people in the building, a lot easier to get the work done efficiently. So the first work would most likely begin that summer of 2019 and then follow for the four consecutive summers after.
Would the majority of the work be contracted locally? I mean, would these be our own people we're putting to work here?
It generally goes that way. I mean, these are state projects. They're required to be, you know, advertised statewide, but generally, right, we see most of the work goes to local contractors. Mm-hmm. Suppliers from out of the area obviously supply materials, but the actual labor is generally done by local contractors.
I always like that about this area too, that we're kind of able to do that and just reinvesting, so the, you know, that $5.63 a month that Kip was talking about, how much of that is simply going, you know, to both bolstering our own economy, putting money right back into our own neighborhoods. I always kind of like that thought, that, you know, there is that sort of closed circle here for the most part when you have projects like this.
Yeah, this community is fortunate that, I mean, there's a number of skilled, qualified contractors in the area able to do the work, and we see that they generally get the local work. So,
with the sinking fund millage, or sinking fund proposal being over 5 years, how does it work as far as the financing? And I don't know if it's Kip or Lou that would be answering this. Is it a pay-as-you-go type of thing when it comes to what work is being done, or do you have to, you know, wait until the end of 5 years? Of course, you were saying that, you know, you're going to start next year. So
no, generally they would collect the money annually, once a year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then essentially you can spend that money as you collect it, or you could save up for a couple of years if there was a project that was a larger dollar value, so you could hold the money from the first year and wait till the second year, once you collect the second year's revenue, to do the project. So it's really project specific, but basically you spend it as you receive it.
All right, imagine that it's all been kind of planned out already, that you can project how much money would be in after the first year, after the second year, and what can be done, so that you don't have to scrap plans or drop projects and start different ones.
Yeah, we've estimated the construction value of all these projects, and that's how we've broken them up over this five-year period, is right, try to get them to fit within what we, you know, the expected revenue would be. So,
Kip, I have tried to do my best to answer as many questions that I think that a general public may ask you if they were sitting here doing this interview. Since we had a couple more minutes, are there any other ones that you thought, you know, maybe you've been asked that you wanted to make sure that everybody heard the answer?
No, I think you did a nice job, Rick.
Thank you. You did great too.
Again, I think the piece is, if there are questions that people have to ask, you know, certainly call the district if we could field the question. You know, there are things that we aren't going to be able to do when we put it together, and I think Lou can attest to this. The board, Lou, the community members, teachers, you know, we sat down and we used a sharp pencil and said, this is what we need. We're not asking for any bells and whistles. What we're asking for is what we need, and we feel very, very strong about that. We're trying to protect the investment. We're trying to provide a good place for instruction for our students, and we're also mindful of our taxpayers. They've invested in their kids, and we're just trying to protect that.
Did you have to leave off anything from the list that in a matter of a couple of years you're really going to need and have to come back to ask for this again?
No, I don't think we did that. We did have, what, about $900,000 of unfunded things that, when we started out, that there are, you know, we could, again, we could find another $1 million in, you know, that we could do with, and certainly at some point they'll prioritize up. But that being said, I think what we really looked at is this is what we need to do, and we need to be very mindful of our taxpayers.
Yeah, what Kip said is correct. I mean, we created a list of projects, and we identified what we felt today was the highest priority, and those are the ones that we kind of fit into that five-year plan. And I think the 1.5 mils was, I think, a reasonable request, is where we kind of felt comfortable that it was something that the community could support. But and certainly there are a number of projects that we weren't able to fund that we today feel are lower priority. But we'll evaluate that each year forward as we go forward, that if something fails or something comes up, this gives us an opportunity to deal with those things as well, and the district isn't left without. So we'll reevaluate it each year over this 5-year period as we move through.
Kip, this breakdown that I'm looking at here, is this available for people to get if they want to be able to look at it?
Yes, you should be able to find a copy of the spreadsheet that we've given you on our webpage. Otherwise, we have flyers in some of the local businesses and also certainly at the district.
Okay, and we'll have this stuff posted up on KeeneWinnoReport.com if you want to be able to check that out. My guests this segment have been Kip Bodwin. He was the superintendent for Hancock Public Schools, and Lou Miette from OHM Advisors. Appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.